I'm now going to call upon Sister Rekha Tenatu to give a reflection on our exposure program from all that she has been hearing and experiencing herself. In your many papers that you received on the first day, there is something about Sister Rekha, about the middle of the many pages you received. I will not read it all. Some of you might have read it already. But I would like to share some of it with you in case you haven't had a chance to see the depth of the woman who's about to present her thoughts to us. Rekha M. Tenatu is a member of the Religious of the Assumption. She is the junior directress of the province of India. She is the director of the master's program in biblical studies at Jnanandipa, if I pronounce this correctly, then VDP. It's the Pontifical Institute of Philosophy and Religion in Pune in India. She's got a licentiate in scripture from the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome and holds a PhD in Biblical Studies from the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. Since 1996, she has taught scripture in India, the United States, France, Italy, Germany, Hungary, Thailand, the Philippines, and Jamaica. Where else hasn't she been? She has presented papers at various international conferences and published more than 30 scholarly articles in journals and books in India and abroad. Some of her articles are translated from English into French, Hungarian, Spanish, Malaysian, and Marathi. And she is the author of books, The Johannine Discipleship as a Covenant Relationship, and she is completing a book called Biblical Women as Agents of Social Change. So Sister Rekha comes to us with an enormous amount of wealth, both academically, spiritually, and her own personal experience in so many places around the world. So please welcome Sister Rekha to the podium.
I'm very, very happy to be here. Just to share with you some of my spontaneous reflections after having listened to your wonderful presentations here this morning. My reflection has 5 parts, and we will finish it in 50 minutes. A brief introduction, objectives of the exposure program as prepared by the Amor Kiviti organizing team. Can you hear me now? Highlights of your sharing. Some biblical and theological reflections on your sharing and conclusion. First of all, I really want to thank each one of you for your very enlightening, inspiring, and creative presentations. And I think responding to the invitation of the Syrophoenician woman from the Gospel of Mark, we have been sent out to these 5 projects. And I'm sure your presentations reveal that in and through these 5 projects, we have experienced the transforming grace of God's immense love in the world that is characterized by a paradox. We experience the promises of life and well-being assisted by new technologies and scientific development on the one hand. On the other hand, we experience also the emerging culture of death and ever-increasing violence. We experience a culture that relativizes all that once we regarded as permanent and sacred, like relationship, family life, the dignity of human persons, and the sacredness of the cosmos, and so on and so forth. part 2. The objectives of this program as articulated by the team. They have articulated 3 objectives for us. Number 1, to observe the dynamism of leadership involved in these projects. Number 2, observe their way of life. Number 3, identify the values that we have picked up and ask ourselves, how do they challenge us to go beyond, to move beyond as religious women in Asia Oceania? And I'm sure that you would agree with me that these objectives have been realized and more than realized, and your presentations bear that out. Part 3. Some of the highlights of your sharing. Excuse me if I have missed out on something, but you will complete the story. I think I would identify perhaps 5 areas. I would summarize or synthesize our experiences under these 5 headings. Number 1, the enlightened go or move beyond. A call to deepen an enlightening and a spirituality of enlightenment. And I'm sure that we have been hearing, and you would agree with me, the bell has been ringing and still going on ringing. We can hear the echo of the bell. And this spirituality would empower us to be trailblazers, to live on the cutting edge. So the area of spirituality. Number 2, the philosophy of education, the whole question of knowledge and learning. We have learned that knowledge and learning is for life, is for self-sufficiency, for community building and for the transformation of society. And I'm sure that those who have watched the movie Spider-Man 1 would remember the central message of that movie: with great knowledge comes great responsibility. Number 3, a simple way of life characterized by critical and creative thinking that is deeply rooted in the experiences of the people and the realities of today. To promote an invitation to promote an eco-friendly way of life or an environment-friendly way of life that would support sustainable development. Number 4, the leadership of the King of Thailand. We know that leadership, and especially the figure king, is a symbol of power and authority. But we have experienced that his love and compassion for the people made his project, such a wonderful project, possible. Therefore, an invitation to promote empowering, enabling, and participatory model of leadership, and an understanding of leadership as an animation from within rather than a control from above. And I'm sure that you would be reminded of the great leader Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, the Good Shepherd discourse. Jesus would say, "I know my own, and my own know me." And I think the king would say the same, because he has made his own the struggles, the pain, the dreams, and the vision or the way of life of his people. He has made it his own. He knows his own, his people, and his people know him. Number 6. Sorry, number 5. You are listening to me. Number 5, it's a call for us to renew our prophetic mission of Jesus in favor of the poor, the marginalized, the wounded, the sick, the HIV and AIDS patients, the unwed mothers, the exploited, rejected, abused, used, misused women. And I think it's a call for us to work for structural change and social justice and gender equality. So I would summarize it under these 5 categories. Number one, spirituality. Number two, education. Number three, eco-friendly, simple way of life. Number four, leadership. Number five, our commitment for justice, peace, integrity of creation. Okay. Part four, a biblical and theological reflection on these first five areas. What I'm going to share with you is what comes from deep within my heart. I would like to take you back to the God experience of the people of Israel. The God experience of the people of Israel was determined by their foundational experience of the Exodus event. Now, where do we find this Exodus experience articulated? We find it in their creed. Especially you can go back and read the book of Exodus chapter 6 verses 7 to 8. And I'm going to summarize it as follows. We have a small group of bonded laborers living in Egypt under the control of the mighty powerful Egyptian emperor. They could escape from this bondage, slavery, and they could survive through the dangerous wilderness journey for a long time, and they could settle down in the land of Canaan. Now, they have attributed this powerful experience of liberation to a God whom they considered, or whom they regarded and experienced as the liberating Lord of history. Now, there is a uniqueness when we think of this experience of God by the people of Israel, especially when we Asians, we reflect on this experience. Unlike our Asian religions, wherein we experience God in and through meditations, prayer, etc., the people of Israel experience God in and through this political and social event, the Lord of history. Similarly, unlike the people of Mesopotamia, the Semitic people, according to the religions of Mesopotamia and Akkadian traditions, they did not experience a God who is fixed in one place, a God who is confined to a temple, a place with a name. Because as you may be aware of the fact that these Akkadian religious traditions, their gods are fixed in one place, in one city, with one name, one temple. So the experience of the people of Israel was entirely different. Now, they began to reread their experience, their encounter with God. And they said, the God has liberated us from the land of Egypt, from slavery, to this good land. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7 to 10, God would say, Moses would articulate the experience by saying that God has led us to this good land, the Hebrew expression, Eretz Hatoba, Gen Agathen in Greek, a good land. Remember the word good. When God created the entire cosmos, God found it very good. To this good land, that means a community, a land where there is no one would be in need of something, where there is perfect harmony and understanding, where human dignity is respected, and so on and so forth. Plus, as we go on reading the book of Deuteronomy, we realize that they were brought out of the land of Egypt was to create a new community in Canaan, to create or to build up an alternative community. An alternative community where there is no poor among them. Now, the word for poor, if you read the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15, verse 8, in Hebrew, it's ebion. Those who know Hebrew would say ebion does not merely mean poor in that sense. This word could include the oppressed, the marginalized, the excluded, the suppressed, and so on and so forth. therefore, to create, build up a new community where there is no oppressed one, excluded, marginalized. Okay, this was the dream of God. And that is why God liberated them from the land of Egypt. Now, as we read on, go on reading the pages of the Old Testament, we realize that when we come to the period of monarchy in general and divided monarchy in particular, we realize that Israel failed to maintain and to remain faithful to God's dream of being an alternative community in Canaan. Why? Because they wanted to be like other nations. They wanted to have a king. They wanted to build a temple. As a result, what happened? The pre-Exodus situation was restored by the accumulation of wealth into the hands of few, by confining Yahweh into the temple of Jerusalem, and by the policies that are oppressing the weak and the marginalized. Therefore, it is interesting to realize that we have been talking about prophetic mission or prophetic mysticism or contemplative prophetism and so on and so forth. The whole movement, the prophetic movement, begins to make its voice heard at this time of the history of the people of Israel, when they failed to remain faithful to the dream of God. Therefore, the mission of the prophets was to restore Israel, to rebuild this alternative community, this contrast community, where there will be no poor, no marginalized, no oppressed one. Okay, now, who is a prophet? If you remember, the word prophet comes from Prophemi, the one who speaks on behalf of God. Therefore, one who is filled with the Spirit of God and the one who is filled with the power of God to communicate God's message. There is no doubt. Okay. Now, therefore, these prophets, they speak for the powerless, for the poor, for the needy, for the oppressed, with passion and with consistency. And that is what we have been witnessing in all these five projects, the presence of the prophets in the world today. And prophets are passionately concerned about and deeply affected by the affairs of their people. And that is what we have seen in the life of the king of Thailand. If you remember, the prophet Jeremiah would speak to us. He would talk about a fire burning in his bones that would not allow him to remain silent. This is the spirit of the prophets. Therefore, this passionate concern for justice is an integral part of their preaching, part of their way of life. As you can imagine, this would lead inevitably to conflict. Conflict with the oppressors. The conflict with the powerful. And therefore, conflicts would become an integral part of the way of life of the prophets. And this would become a source of much suffering and pain to the prophets. However, God stands by the prophets in these moments of conflict and pain, because they speak in the name of God, on behalf of God, and communicate God's message to the people. Now, going a little further from the prophetic tradition to the Psalms, wisdom literature. We are so familiar with Psalms. Most of us would recite Psalms every day. I would like to draw your attention to one of the Psalms, Psalm 82. It's a very small Psalm with 8 verses. Psalm 82 verses 1 to 8. I take this psalm because it articulates so powerfully God's universal concern for social justice and the integrity of creation. It articulates so powerfully the responsibility of the leaders and responsibility of the persons who have knowledge, who have been educated, and all of us would belong to that category. If you read Psalm 82, Yahweh, the God, is taking his God's place in the assembly of the leaders, and God is pronouncing judgment upon the leaders because they failed to fulfill the will of God, because they were indifferent towards human suffering, because they were oppressing the weak, the orphan, widow, and so on and so forth. And the psalmist says one thing which is very important for us. The psalmist says, because of the injustice done by these leaders, the foundations of the entire cosmos are shaken. The foundations of the entire cosmos are shaken. Therefore, the injustice done by the leaders, because of their lack of care for the poor, marginalized, etc., because they fail to accomplish God's will for the people, because of that, the foundations of the cosmos are shaken. In other words, if you follow the biblical worldview, social justice, leadership, education, integrity of the entire creation are interconnected, one reality. They are all one reality. That would summarize the dream of God for us. I'm just looking at the time. I think I have 15 or 10 more minutes. Okay. Let me conclude. I can go on speaking, but because it's in my heart, and I love the Word of God. So conclusion. We are called to be the leaders, the prophets of the Lord, the disciples of Jesus. Called to be women on fire to accomplish God's will. Like God said to Moses, we will not go empty-handed. Therefore, we are called to move beyond so that the silent agony of the exploited women and plundered poor and the compassionate anger of God will find their appropriate expression in our words, in our deeds, in our way of animating our communities, in our way of leading our congregations forward, transcending the boundaries and the borders of where we are at this moment. We are called to move beyond, to participate in this ongoing struggle against all sorts of discrimination and injustice, all that impedes us, our quest for truth and wholeness for all. We are called to move beyond, perhaps to create a new culture of fellowship that is characterized by love and respect, a new society that is less violent and more just, a new history that is more human and caring. We are called to move beyond, therefore, to make visible the healing presence of Jesus, to make the transforming power of God's immense love here and now. In other words, we are called to give life, to promote growth, build up communities, foster communion, protect our Mother Earth and the beloved planet for future generations. And therefore, perhaps we can ask ourselves some of the following questions. How this experience, as one of the groups articulated, how this experience touches us, how this experience touches us to move beyond, in the sense where we are, we want to, where we are and where we want to go and how we want to get there. In other words, I think I would conclude by saying, we are saying that we are going to lead our communities, our congregations, justly and fairly, lead them forward by working for the welfare of our people and the cosmos as women filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God. Women with foresighted vision, integrated knowledge and spirituality, and great passion for God's mission and for our people and for our beloved planet. May I repeat, as we have heard this many times, if not we, who? If not now, when? If not here, Amor 15, where? Thank you.